All right. Let's just pray before we hear God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, God, seeking, just like those the Magi, God, seeking to worship, God. And part of our worship is to delve into your word and to grow in our understanding of who you are and your character and who you've called us to be, oh God. And so this time in hearing your word, God, is a time of worship as we open our hearts and minds. I pray, God, that you are blessed by this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have a three-week sermon series that I made this little sermon graphic. Anybody see what it says? Get out. Get out. No, get out. And in the beginning of the year, we normally do a certain amount of focusing on spiritual disciplines, right? We turn inward a little bit to try to regroup and refocus, recalibrate our faith journey. You know, during the year, a lot of things can happen. We start out with good intentions in the beginning of the year, and yet something can happen in the middle of the year that pulls us off course. It's like any Christ follower. It takes diligence and focus. And so in the beginning of the year, when we're making New Year's resolutions, sometimes we can resolve to make resolutions as far as our spiritual practices go. So we want to talk about in and out. So repeat after me. In and out. In and out. Okay. In and out. Good, good. So first is in. So each week, I'm going to talk about a couple of spiritual disciplines and then talk about the other side. So we're going to talk about the inward side and then the outward side about getting out. This week, we're going to talk about two things that go hand in hand, and they are prayer and fasting. Spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting. So prayer first. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Do not be anxious. Anybody have any stress? Any worry, right? God's word tells us do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because we have this wonderful opportunity to commune with God, to pray, to believe God for an answer, to believe that God is in control, to turn it all over to God through our prayer life. So the question is then, how is your prayer life? How much of these things that might be causing anxiety or worry have you really surrendered to God and turned over in prayer? Are you praying every day? Right? We talked about that last week when we talked about the questions that, you know, how are these little mile markers, these little markers in our spiritual journey? Are we praying every day? Are you spending time? Now, so you might say, oh, well, I pray every day. I'm constantly praying. I'm praying in the car. I'm praying. But are you spending time in conversation with the Lord? Right? Prayer is a two-way communication. Oftentimes we think that our prayer is just us lifting up our concerns and our requests and petitions and moving along in our day. Are we just doing those popcorn prayers? Boop, boop, boop. And not spending time in conversation to lift up the prayers and then wait to hear what God has to say in return, right? If you were having a relationship with anybody in your life and you spent all that time talking to the person and never actually took time to open your ears, that person might get weary of a one-sided relationship, right? So in our relationship with God, the same way, we need to pray and wait. Pray and wait. All right? Pray and wait. All right, good. So there's a wonderful tool I'm going to give you. I have it on my phone. I've talked about it before. I don't know if anybody's ever downloaded it, but it's called the 714 Prayer app. It looks like this. The Assemblies of God produces it. And you can do a bunch of stuff with it. Well, it has a devotion. Normally, there's a daily scripture reading. And they keep track of the amount of people that are using the app and praying. And you can see a map of where people are praying and how many times people are praying. And after you read it and you spend your time in prayer, you either click, I prayed today, or I shared today. There's opportunity to set notifications. They have a notification, an automatic one, that sends a little bloop at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 at night. So if I say 7:14, does anybody know what chapter that comes from about prayer? I'm going to challenge you to figure out what that is. It's in the Old Testament. If my people, I'm going to just give you the intro. There we go. Does anybody know what that scripture is yet? Nope. It's near Kings, but it's not Kings. All right. So you can do devotions with it. You can set reminders to remind yourself to pray. You can actually create prayer lists to remind you who to pray for. So if people are asking you to pray, you can add them. You can pray for particular things, my country, my community, the schools. I can pray for adults. I can pray for youth. All of that is in this one little app. It's a wonderful tool. So if you want something to come alongside of you in this, I would recommend it. And like I said, the Assemblies of God creates it, so it's part of our faith tradition. It's the 7:14 prayer app. If you look, search under 7:14, you will find it. All right, prayer and fasting. Now, last night I posted a video on our Sanctuary Ashby page about fasting from Paul Martin and his son-in-law. They pastor a church in Costa Mesa, California, or at least his son-in-law does, and he was visiting, and they did a video about fasting. I would highly recommend it. Who here has Facebook? Okay, the majority of you do. Even Tom does now, much to his chagrin. He has to do it for business. So one of the things that would be really helpful, and this is just completely outside of sermon, okay? Number one, turn on your notifications from the Sanctuary Ashby page. You know how you can turn stuff off because you're like, ugh. If you're a member of this church or this, you consider this your church home, turn on the notifications so you see what comes through. Visit it. Find out what's going on. And then, you ready for this one? Share it. Yes, thank you, Miss Diane. So I posted the things about Financial Peace University. Share it. You never know who you know that I don't know, right? We have the Sanctuary Ashby page only has a small, limited audience of those people that have already liked the page. Unless you take the material and share it to your personal page, it's only ever going to go to that small little core. So as we share those things in like little promotions warriors, okay? Share it. Make a comment, invite people to participate. So that's out there. The Daniel Fast information is out there. You can invite people to the Daniel Fast group, and I'll talk about that in a second. So there's a wonderful video about fasting. So take a look, share it, and see if it doesn't speak to you or speak to somebody else. So Mark 9 shares a story of a father's desire to see his son healed. The father comes, his son has all of these seizures, goes to the disciples do everything that they can, but unfortunately are not able to heal this boy. So he brings him to Jesus and says this, if you can heal him. Now could you imagine coming to Jesus and say, well, if, right? We don't want to ever say if. We know that Jesus can heal, amen? But Jesus replies this, beginning in verse 23 of Mark 9. If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting. All right, some things require fasting. If you want to see a breakthrough in your life, if you've been praying for something and wondering why you're not receiving an answer, maybe the answer is to fast, is to really seek God, is to couple prayer with fasting. They go hand in hand. Now, we're going to talk about doing the Daniel fast. I had talked a little bit about it last week when we were gathering for New Year's Day. And it begins next Sunday, completely voluntary. You can be part of it. You don't have to be part of it. You can do your own fast if you'd like. This is one of the things that I have found has made a dramatic difference in my life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, a lot of ways. And the last time we did this together as a church, we had a lot of testimonies how God had moved through people's lives because they were focused on God. So fasting, in the Daniel fast, we are seeking to disconnect from the world and connect to God. That is what fasting allows us to do. So we're doing a Daniel fast, which is focused on food. But, you know, in listening to that video last night, Paul Martin made an excellent point in saying that when they talked about food in the Old Testament or centuries ago, think about it, the preparation of food, the time that it took to create and prepare and feed people was an immense amount of work. And yet, if we fast from food, not only are we might be hungry for the things of the world, but the time that it took to prepare all these things was eliminated, and so they had the time to focus on God, to pray, to read his word, okay? So there's many ways of doing a fast. It doesn't always have to involve food, but scripturally, it is food. And the Daniel fast is based on two separate scriptures in Daniel that talk about how Daniel gave up rich and tasty foods and ate healthy things. And the king recognized that he was more able, more physically able, and more connected to God. And so the Daniel fast begins next Sunday. If you want to participate, talk to me. I'll add you to our little Facebook support group. If I've added you and you haven't responded, you need to go and accept the invitation. It's not automatic. I sent you an invitation. You have to respond. All right. So life is all about balance. So we're going to talk about personal disciplines like prayer and fasting in the beginning of the year because we want to draw close to God, but we will also be balancing that out with reaching outside of the church. And it's thinking outside the box, as it were, and hence that is why the sermon today is titled Thinking Outside the Box. Again, the Rural Compassion people, so fabulous. I got this book in part of what they gave out that week, and it's called The Externally Focused Church. So I want to read a story to you just to set the tone for what this means. In the summer of 2002, a number of forest fires burned out of control in Colorado for days at a time. The fire nearest to our community was between Denver and Estes Park in the Arapahoe National Forest. Although the fire was over 20 miles away, the sky above us was a cinnamon color and smoke filled the air. With so much acreage burning and so much property destroyed, most of us assumed that it was the most important fire at the time. By the end of 2002, satellites recorded over a million fires around the globe that year. Places of light and heat that quite independently of one another ignited because the conditions were right. Few people observing a nearby fire realized that on the same day, an average of over 2,700 fires are ablaze in the forests and grasslands elsewhere on the earth. It's only from the perspective of space and time that patterns of each of such magnitude, and significance can be seen. In the same way, pastors and Christian leaders all around the world are beginning to think differently about church, independently of one another. They are increasingly convinced that effectiveness is not measured by what happens inside the church, but rather by the impact the people of that church have on their communities. They are engaging their communities with truth and grace, good news and good deeds. They are becoming the salt that preserves, the light that shines upon, and the leaven that transforms a community. But what they may not realize is that they are part of a growing global movement. Amen? And so when we talk about balancing the in and the out. We want to grow spiritually, obviously. As Christ followers, we want to develop in our discipleship to become more solid in our beliefs, more secure in what we think and believe, because the storms will come, right? And the more solid we are, the more firm our foundation, the more we will hold fast in times of difficulty. But at the same time, right, we've said this before, salvation is not just for us. It's for those outside the church. And so we have to think beyond just what we experience here on Sunday morning. Externally focused churches are internally strong, but they are oriented externally. So we need to ask ourselves this question, right? When we refocus in the beginning of the year, we set goals, right? As a church, we were setting goals. As humans, we set goals. We're like, what are we going to do the first 3 months of this year? How many pounds do I want to lose? How many things do I want to accomplish this year? Well, one of the things that we think of as a church is how effective are we? So we need to ask ourselves this question. Whose lives are different because of this church? Whose lives are different because of this church? Are we making a difference, or are we gathering in vain? Are we making a difference? Now let me read. This is Isaiah chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And Isaiah says this: bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. It's almost like those two things cannot exist at the same time. Iniquity, injustice, things that are not right outside of the world compared to solemn assembly within the church. I cannot endure them, he says. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, right? This is what we do in the beginning of the year. We refocus. We re-clean our minds and our souls and our bodies. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds before my eyes. Cease to do evil. And the last verse is this: learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Right? Learn to do good. And what is that? Seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. And so we begin this year, my goal, my heart is to help reorient, right? Recalibrate ourselves to not only our own spiritual practices, but how to then use our own faith journey to be a blessing to others. I have another chapter from, this is a little longer, so bear with me. And if you have your Bibles, open it up, because it's 12 verses. And again from Isaiah, in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. And he says this: cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. See, God, we don't do these things just for the sake of doing them, for personal benefit, for personal gain. We're doing it to draw closer to God, to gain God's heart, to work in his plans and purposes. And it goes on to say, verse 4, behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. There are a lot of people in bondage, people, outside of this building right now, suffering in bondage. Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn. The light that we have only can break through if we break out of here. Right? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. See, fasting, the things that we talk about, prayer, fasting, is to see a breakthrough, yes. To draw near to God, yes. To develop his heart, though, and act in his will. What develops within must be used without. So I'm just going to give you four characteristics of an externally focused church. What does a church look like that hasn't gotten so involved in just taking care of itself? And honestly, I really do believe that Sanctuary is doing a wonderful job about being externally focused. But lest we lose that edge, lest we forget why we're here, we need to remind ourselves. So number one. Externally focused churches are convinced that good news and good deeds can't and shouldn't be separated. All right? Externally focused churches are convinced that good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and good deeds can't and shouldn't be separated. Our role model is who? Jesus! All right, according to Luke 9:11, when the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God, and cured those who had need of healing. It's both and. If we follow after Christ, we need to be both and people, right? We preach the kingdom of God. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ who came to die for us, for our sins, eternal life, the hope that we have. But that is only one part of it. The other part is reaching and ministering and touching people's lives. The preaching of the gospel and the healing of others work in concert in perfect harmony. One is not exclusive of the other. Number two, externally focused churches see themselves as vital to the health and well-being of their communities. Vital to the health and well-being of their communities. Do we see ourselves as vital to this community and those right around us? Is it critical that we're here? Are we making a difference in this community such that if we were plucked out, there would be a hole that needed to be filled? It's not just about the health of the church, right? When we focus about discipleship in the beginning of the year, yes, it's good that we're healthy, but we're healthy for a reason. But the health of our greater community, that's what it's about. God has placed us in this community, whether we feel like we're welcome or not, for a reason. Now, I say that because there are those that do not like that we're here. Whether we feel welcome or not, whether we feel wanted or not, God has called us here for a reason. To be salt, to be light, to be leaven. We are not social workers. We are kingdom builders. Amen? We are not social workers. There are those that do that work. But we are kingdom builders, ministering and making a difference. Now, somewhere along the line, churches kind of lost track of how they were supposed to be in the world, not of the world, right? Ecclesia, the word for church in the Bible, means called out ones. We're called out from the world, and that it's true. But somehow the extreme has happened where those that become saved start staying to themselves and start socializing only with those that are like themselves and only seeing certain movies and only talking about certain things and reading certain books where they are so disconnected from the world around them that they're not effective in sharing the gospel because there's no relationship and there's no relativity. They don't understand how to communicate because they're so pulled away. We're not to be separatists. Salt is only good out of the salt shaker. And it's not a new idea. I'm going to give you a quote from Tertullian, who's a Christian apologist whose writings span the second and third centuries. And he wrote this: "Do we not dwell beside you, sharing your way of life, your dress, your habits, and the same needs of life? We are no Brahmins or Indian gymnosophists dwelling in woods and exiled from life. We stay beside you in this world, making use of the forum, the provision market, the bath, the booth, the workshop, the inn, the weekly market, and all other places of commerce. We sail with you, fight at your side, till the soil with you, and traffic with you. We likewise join our technical skill to that of others and make our works public property for your use." We need to be fully involved in our communities, fully involved in developing relationships and reaching out to people that have no relationship to Christ, constantly looking for the areas in our community that need help, that need to be served, where we can make a difference. Are there groups in our community that we can partner with to make a difference that are already doing good things, and we can come alongside to enable to do a greater good? It doesn't have to be all about us, right? Look at Sanctuary. We're doing all these great things. It's not just about that. Can we continue to partner with the food pantry? Can we continue to partner with the community council to make a difference in our communities? And I think that we've already done that, and we should be continuing to do that. But is there more that we could do? I would say yes. Number three, externally focused churches believe that ministering and serving are the normal expressions of Christian living. Okay, normal. To serve and minister at the same time. This is another opportunity to grow, right? Serving is an expression of our faith, and the more we serve, the more we grow in our faith as we extend ourselves. We've talked about, you know, the water in the pond. If the water stays in the pond, it gets icky, and there's the green slime, and, you know, smells bad. But the fresh water, the things that are flowing out and coming in and receiving and flowing out again, are constantly being rejuvenated. So we serve not just on Sunday morning, but serving others outside of our faith community. And I know not everybody lives in Ashby, right? As a matter of fact, the majority of the people that come to this church do not live in Ashby. So you have an opportunity to look at your own communities and ask yourself, how can I be a blessing? How can I partner with somebody in Fitchburg or Hubbardston or Ashburnham to make a difference? Can I invite some of my brothers and sisters from church to partner with me to make a difference, to do something to the glory of God? Again, our model is Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. Amen? To live a life of sacrifice. Mark 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Do you know that service is sacrifice? Service is sacrifice. We have to take the most precious thing that we have, which is time, something that we can never get back, and invest it in those that need the gospel. It's service so that they can see Christ in you, that the gospel would have hands and feet, and that it would be a reality in their lives and not just a theory. Number four, this is the last one. Finally, externally focused churches are evangelistically effective. Think about it. The more we are in our communities, the more that we will be able to reach people with the gospel of Christ. If we continue to stay inward, that will never happen. People don't naturally just walk into church. The only time that that ever truly happens is if they were raised in the church before, most likely, and something dramatic happens in their life. There's a loss, there's a brokenness, and they don't know where else to turn. But we are increasingly part of a community that has no history in going to church. You know, there's generations of kids now that have never been raised in the church. And think about it, if we are Christ followers, we know what it looks like, because we're here, to come to church. But if you were to attend a Buddhist temple, would you know how to behave? Would you know what to do? Would there be a certain kind of uncomfortable feeling that you would have in stepping into the unknown? Fear. And it might keep you from ever doing it, even though that is the one place you need to be in. For us, the church is the one place where people need to be. But if they've never had an experience in the church or know what to do, they are not going to just naturally step foot, because this is a fearsome experience for a lot of people. They don't know what to expect. They don't know how to behave. They don't know how they're going to be received. And most people think they're going to be judged as soon as they come in the door. And so it is imperative that what we do is outside of this church and build those relationships first, so that they will know that they have a friendly face to come and see on Sunday morning. It's no secret that mainline churches are dying each and every day. But there are those that are growing. Now, I shared on Facebook a little article about conservative churches are the ones that are actually growing. One of my favorite musicals right now is Hamilton. I can't get enough of Hamilton. You just talk to my family. But Alexander Hamilton asked Aaron Burr, "If you stand for nothing, Burr, what do you fall for?" And maybe you've heard it in other realms, but that's a great lyric. You have to know what you stand for so that you don't fall for things outside in the world. We believe what we believe. Conservative churches, evangelical churches have a solid belief system. It's not gray, it's black and white. And that's attractive to people, to know that we believe what we believe. According to the FACT study, which is the Faith Communities Today, quote, "Congregations with a strong commitment to social justice and with direct participation in community outreach ministries are more likely to be growing than any other congregation." And that's a fact. So the more that we think outside the box, the more we are able to reach people with the gospel of Christ. Isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we're here? Right? To be able to reach and grow more disciples. Sometimes we think that people just need more or better information, right? If they just understood what the Bible said, if I could just convince them with my words, they will come to church, right? If they would just understand. But what they really long for is authenticity. Have you heard that? Especially some of the emerging generations, they want to see an authentic faith. Not something plastic, not something created, not something false, but authentic. And the authenticity comes from how we live our lives outside of this place on Sunday morning. We can profess all we want where it's comfortable and we know that everybody agrees with us in the space, but as soon as you step outside the door, is your faith going to carry you in a place where you can be authentically real with people, to share your faith, to minister with no expectation in return? Right, to give to people, to serve people, and never expecting anything in return. People want to know how their lives can make a difference. Right? People want to know that their lives have meaning, that they have impact, that they have something that's going to outlive them. And that comes from a faith in Christ. So we planted this church not to start a church per se, but to serve and impact a community. Right? God called us to a community, not to create something comfortable for everybody, but to reach a community with the gospel of Christ. So we need to get out. We need to grow in, but we need to get out. Grow personally, go corporately. Will you accept the challenge? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, that you are a God who has given us clear directives, Lord. And through following Jesus, Lord, we understand who our role model is and how we can fashion our lives to be more like Christ. Ultimately, God, that is our goal. That is our heart's cry, to develop those spiritual disciplines within, oh Lord, so that we can be like Christ, to be light bearers, salt bearers in our community, oh God. Continue to serve and minister just like Christ did, to live sacrificially, oh Lord. So be with your people, God, as this word begins to bear fruit in their lives, God, and so that we can hear testimonies, God. I pray, Lord, that even now in this place, that you are inspiring these people of God in ways that they can serve that only you have inspired them to do, oh God, that there's a way that they feel called and passionate about, and that, God, that we would facilitate that call in their lives, that we would facilitate that passion and purpose, oh God, to be salt and light and to get outside into our communities. God, may we as a church not just develop us ourselves personally within, but to continue to facilitate and enable the call of God in everyone that is in this place even now, God, and those that you would still call into this place, oh God, that we would continue to raise up disciples powerful for the cause of Christ. So God, be with us. Oh God, bless your people, Lord, as they leave this place, oh God. I pray, Lord, that they are filled with a passion and a purpose for their immediate communities, the wide-ranging communities, even their families, God, that is the first place of ministry. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And if all God's people are in agreement, say amen. Amen. Thank you. Be blessed, church. Hallelujah.